Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Doug, great to have you on the show. Things are going nuts.
I'm going to Twitter right now.
Twitter? Why? Twitter? We're on the air. We're doing a news talk show.
I'm trying to get an update on the news from Iran.
Well, that's right.
That seems to be the only way is through Twitter and Facebook and cell phone video.
Yeah, the major news sources around the world are going to these social networking sites.
That's right. That's how people are getting their news out of Iran, because apparently they kicked out all of the foreign journalists.
Well, they kicked out, or they're not allowing them.
They're not renewing their visas.
Not renewing their visas. They're not allowing them to travel.
Right.
If they have any video, they're not allowed to share it with any outside news agencies, not even their own.
Right.
And they're so they're like stuck in their hotel rooms.
So all indications are that everything's fine in Iran, right?
But before
that would be an indication that things are not going well.
You know, but this is a new age in news gathering with Facebook and Twitter. You know, Doug, I heard that there might be a three-way merger between YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook.
YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook.
Yeah, it's been said it will be called YouTwitface.
You probably shouldn't be making fun of what are the only news sources coming out of Iran right now.
No.
That is funny.
That is. Yeah. At Theology Online, on their front page news, they have an article about Facebook, Jesus, and your church.
Oh, really?
About etiquette, how to use these social networking sites in a church environment, and how they're a benefit and how they really cause problems.
Oh.
So interesting at theologyonline.com. But, okay, so back to Iran.
Yeah, what's happening in Iran? It's eerily reminiscent, according to CNN, of 1979.
Well, yeah, remember the
revolution.
Remember the misery index?
The misery index,
how
yes.
old were you in 79?
I was quite young. I was less than 10 years old.
I was 20, and we had Jimmy Carter in the White House.
Yes, misery index is inflation plus unemployment. Plus
whatever,
something else, your blood pressure or something.
And so,
I remember that, though.
Yeah, yeah. And so at that time, Iran was holding American hostages.
That's right.
And for about 400 days. And if you recall, they got released the day that Ronald Reagan was sworn into office.
That's right. Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
I was 11. I was 11 years old.
And we had a failed rescue attempt. You know, we wanted to be like the Jews at Entebbe. You remember
that?
Yeah,
we wanted to do that.
I mean, that brilliant.
That went off very well.
And years after that complete failure, and it was a failure primarily because of a mechanical breakdown of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Helicopters not able to restart after landing in the desert, stuff like that. It was a real tragedy.
You know the rumor I heard, because I was in the military not long after that.
Okay. And I talked to it. I worked for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company, Hughes Helicopter Company. And I talked to a maintenance guy who was assigned to work on the helicopters back then.
Oh.
And so he told me a story, but go ahead. What did you hear?
I just heard that the reason that failed was that at that point, 2/3 of our military were druggies. And they were all stoned all the time.
Well, it was 1979.
It was 1979. And apparently
the liberals were in control.
Maintenance of helicopters, tanks, trucks, everything was not what it should have been.
Our military was going into extreme disrepair. And that was part of the, you know, Democratic plan for America.
Right.
And Ronald Reagan ran on that. And
he won.
Yeah, he won major landslides.
1/3 of the U.S. Marine Corps was discharged within 2 years of Ronald Reagan being elected.
1/3?
1/3 of the Marine Corps were discharged for
drugs.
Because they
were worthless.
Because they were potheads.
Potheads.
Yeah, they were. They were potheads. Anyway.
You know, I just got
a... He cleaned house.
Talking about potheads, I just got out of El Paso County Jail.
Yeah.
And there were three of us talking at a table. And one guy said, you know, he used to do drugs and he gave it all up.
Good.
He's turned his life around now. All he does is pot.
Oh, great.
And so, and there was the third guy at the table. He seemed to be a pretty sharp guy. And I was saying to this guy, I was saying, you know, as a pothead, doesn't it concern you that people will look at you and think you're sort of slow and a bit of a doofus?
Yeah.
And he said, Are you trying to say that I'm a bit slow? I said, well, isn't that what all your friends think? And so the guy who was sort of sharp, he was disagreeing with me, and he was saying, come on, you can smoke pot. No problem, no problem.
Yeah.
And so this guy got transferred to another pod.
Uh-huh.
So he was gone, the pothead, and the sharper guy looked at me and he said, you know, everything you said is true. But you're 5 minutes late.
Well, yeah, come on.
So anyway,
social pressure in jail.
Anyway, so the military plus the mechanic guy.
Yeah. Now, what did you hear?
He told me that there was such an attitude of malaise in the military, and there was a lack of funding for equipment, replacement parts, and there was simply not a mental mindset of.
They weren't alert. They weren't ready for action. They weren't ready to go.
Yeah,
they weren't gung-ho.
No, you're exactly right. And the word I'm looking for is preparedness and quality.
Right.
Excellence. None of that was anywhere in their minds.
Yeah, that's what I've heard similar things about the military prior to 1981.
Yeah, and so it just generally broke down.
Mm.
It decomposed.
Law
of entropy. And so that's why it failed. That's a major reason why it failed.
And there was the sandstorm. They took off into one of the worst sandstorms over there.
Yeah.
But the fact that they didn't realize they were taking off into a horrible sandstorm tells you something about their readiness, about the quality of their...
World War II. Remember D-Day, all the effort? They had opposing teams of meteorologists to decide when to launch and all.
All right. So it feels like 1979.
It feels like...
The misery index is up there.
The misery index is up there.
Unemployment is high. Inflation is not that high, though.
There's turmoil in Iran.
The economy of the globe has ratcheted down 40-50% over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And we have a new Shah.
We have a new Shah.
It's just 20 years. It's 20 years?
30.
30 years.
You're older than you thought.
That's right.
30 years.
It's just 30 years later, and the people in Iran are, you know, they are frustrated, undoubtedly. We like to put this in the best terms possible and think they're craving
democracy, freedom,
religious freedom.
Sure, yeah.
They just want a better iPod.
They want jeans, iPods, McDonald's.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
Satellite TV.
They're young people. You know, most of the older generation was wiped out during the war between Iran and Iraq. And it's a young population.
And Europe is aging while the Muslim world is reproducing dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So Europe's in big trouble.
Yeah, demographically there.
It couldn't happen to...
nicer bunch.
It's just poetic justice. Europe has had a war against marriage and a war against children. They're destroying marriage. Marriage is irrelevant, and kids are targeted. It's open season on unborn children and handicapped kids and so on. They're killing them off by the millions.
Yeah.
And so the Arabs and Muslims around the world are saying, well, we've heard from Abraham and Moses that you shouldn't murder your children, so we're not.
Right. They heard that children were a blessing, not a curse.
Yeah, they did hear that somewhere. They said they heard it in the book.
Yes, the book.
And that happens to be the Judeo-Christian scriptures.
The Holy Scriptures, right.
Which Muhammad then perverted to start his own sex fest with kids and all.
Somewhere around like 666 A.D., something like that. Close to that.
Right.
Right? 600 A.D., approximately?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And so... The Muslims are reproducing wildly. They have young populations.
Yeah.
And it's like the homeschool movement in America, the Christian homeschool movement, young families.
Right.
Millions of young kids. And the liberals, they want, you know, perpetual control, but they're killing their kids, and we're having kids.
Yes.
Cheryl and I, we raised 7 boys.
Outstanding. Good work.
Yeah, I had lunch with one of them today.
That's great.
Yeah, I had a great time.
I'm glad you're doing your part to salvage Western civilization.
Yeah, God says through his word that children are like arrows in your quiver.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so full. In Iran,
their economy apparently has been bad straight.
In the year of their discontent. So,
and apparently...
Which is on a 30-year cycle.
Yeah. Now, the young people there, I heard an interview via somebody's cell phone camera last night where a young woman said that the people who were protesting, it's not that Ahmadinejad was declared the winner. It's that he was declared the winner by a landslide.
Overwhelming.
And so quickly. So it's obvious that these old mullahs, Ayatollah Khamenei, instead of Khomeini, it's Khamenei.
Yeah, NPR. You've got to say it right. And I don't know, why is it only like Arab countries and Asian countries that they do that? Like in Europe?
Mm-hmm.
Don't they say Rome? They don't say Roma.
No, and they don't say Deutschland.
They don't say Deutschland. They don't say, let's say, Venice. They don't say Venezia.
No, they don't.
Interesting. How about, Florence? That's Firenze.
Firenze.
In Italy, it's Firenze. Right? There's no L in it. There's no Florence. So NPR, they're weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, you got to repronounce all the names of the people and the places.
Right.
If you're in the Arab world or the Far East.
Mm-hmm. To be politically correct.
Yes.
Anyway, the Ayatollah Khamenei.
Yeah.
He obviously decided who was going to win the election. Although there's not, doesn't seem to be a dime's worth of difference between these two guys.
No.
Right? They both want nuclear bombs. They both want to wipe Israel off the face of the map.
Yeah.
They both think America's the great Satan.
Yeah, the reformer is the one who started their nuclear weapons program.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so Khamenei is more...
Khamenei. I like that. Can I use that?
No, yes. He's more comfortable with Ahmadinejad.
Right. I think, I'm not going to say. But anyways...
They're not homos.
No, I didn't think they were homos. Okay. I still think Ahmadinejad...
I can't imagine any other thought you'd have
No, Ahmadinejad, I think, was involved somehow in the hostage crisis.
But... With that photo?
Well, no, I don't know that was him, but I think he was involved. I think those guys who said that they can remember looking into his beady little pig eyes, I think they remember. He was involved in somehow. So he's getting his due. You know, he's climbed the ladder to success there in Iran.
Doug, we hope to go to Iran, our church, Denver Bible Church,
we
Bob
do?
And Yart Live.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
It's not looking good.
Not looking
good. Every 3 years about, we go on a Bible tour of some country where major events in the Bible took place.
Well, yeah, would be one.
Yeah, we've been to Turkey, 3-week tour of Turkey, Greece, Italy, and we've been to Israel 3 times.
Right.
And we've been hoping and praying to go to Iran, but we've been... You know, waiting for things to calm down a little bit, and it's not looking good right now. We want to go to Egypt.
Yeah.
But you got the Egyptian Brotherhood there.
Yeah, that's not
the Muslim
good
Brotherhood.
Either.
And so anyway, Iran, by the way, Iran, I remember back in the late 70s, 80, asking a guy I knew, and I said, well, you're from Iran, right? He said, oh, no, I'm Persian.
I'm
Persian.
That was convenient, right?
And I think they're pretty much saying that these days, too, right?
Yes.
Because of...
The ones I know.
Islamic terrorism,
right,
mostly.
The ones I know who don't necessarily want to be associated with the fundamentalist Islamic state that is there. And it is a fundamentalist Islamic state. It is the only fundamentalist Islamic state. Its declared goal is to... install a caliphate over the entire world. That's their declared goal of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So why haven't we attacked them yet? Why beat around the bush? We attacked Iraq. Yeah. We attacked Afghanistan. We've got them surrounded. I mean, if ever there was a time to go liberate those people,
well,
it seems to be now.
You know, liberating people is something that America has done over the years. The problem is once we liberate them, we don't know what to do because
we're
virtually as wicked as the next country.
Mm-hmm.
But or more so because we knew what was right and we turned our back against God.
Right.
And we kicked him out of government and schools and the medical profession. And we have said no Bibles, no prayer in our schools and our courts.
Yeah.
And we say you could kill your children and you don't have to get married and homosexuals are great. And so now when we liberate a country, maybe they're better off in total tyranny. It's hard to evaluate.
You know,
that.
My wife, who's from Japan,
yeah.
She has expressed a similar theory about what happened to Japan.
Really?
Is that America came in, we basically got rid of their pagan religion that kind of kept them on the straight and narrow.
And their monarchy.
And their monarchy.
We dispatched
with all of that.
It was virtual emperor worship.
And we turned them into a European-style social democracy. And
secular.
Completely secular. Taught them how to produce electronics. And now they have an entire generation of young people who never move out of their mom and dad's house, who never have kids, who play video games. And
pornography.
And a lot of that. It's a huge problem.
So it's a society with no spiritual foundation.
None whatsoever. But they believe in democracy, and they believe in freedom, and they believe in capitalism.
Well, you can't have freedom if you're dead and they kill their children.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, they believe in capitalism and democracy.
Right.
But those things are simply not enough.
It's not enough without a foundation of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the revelation.
So
of
Japan,
God's
in
will.
The in a course of just 50 years, 60 years now, Japan has gone from one of the pinnacle cultures to they've been in an economic depression for 15 years now, almost 20 years.
You know,
and their young people are a disaster.
In a weird way, even though these protesters in Tehran would hate George Bush, and I'm not a fan of George Bush. I don't know if you've noticed that.
No. I have noticed
that you're not
his biggest fan.
Child killer extraordinaire. Right. But I think they have some hope because of George Bush. And I think some of the things Bush did, while the implementation was often bungled, I think some of his strategy and his war on terror was really right on. But why don't we take a call first?
We've got a caller.
In Denver, Colorado, our phone number 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. John, you're on with Doug McBurney and Bob Enyart.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Doug.
Hello, hey, sir. John. What's up?
I was just wondering, what is your take on some of the things that America has done to Iran, you know, and our interference throughout the years, like with the overthrowing of Mossadegh and the Iran-Contra scandal?
All right.
So our CIA has been up to its ears in corruption with the Iranian government, apparently. Now, did you know that...
And we did work to overthrow. We worked with the British, our CIA, to bring about a military coup against that Mossadegh. John's right, that democratically elected Prime Minister back then, Mohammad Mossadegh. And John, thanks for your call. Our CIA trying to figure out how to overthrow a regime, how we can do it on the sly.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, it's really hard to pick the next generation of leaders who are worth installing. And you end up making enemies by the millions. And it's a very dangerous game.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. See, that's why I'm for installing the legislature of Texas. From the governor right down to the dog catcher, we take them and we put them in Iran and we say, you fix it. I mean, it's as good as picking some of their people. You know, you might end up with one or two Christians in the Texas state government.
All the years that Clinton was in office, when we were in a restaurant, I'm debating democracy and all. And I'd ask whoever I'm having dinner with, well, who do you think would make a better president? The one that's in the White House now, or, and I'd point to the busboy or that guy.
Yeah.
And no matter who I'm talking to, they'd say, well, probably that guy over there.
Of course.
Probably.
Of course.
But the CIA tried not only in the Middle East, but in places around the world to overthrow different regimes. And it's, for the most part, not been...
That doesn't go well.
It has not gone well for us. All-out war against an unjust government is much more honorable, I think.
Well, that's what I'm for with Iran. Mm. Although it's easy now because I'm fat and old and I don't have to go.
Mm.
But
in Oliver North with the Iran-Contra deal...
Yeah. I think we sold guns to somebody and then traded heroin with someone else.
The Sandinistas.
I don't remember. All very convoluted.
I do remember Oliver North lying about things like security fences and, you know, payoffs he got from different corporations. And his defense was, well, I was not under oath.
That's right. That's why he was able to say what he said.
Yeah. And
he was able to lie because he wasn't under oath.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that we've made that argument on the air for 18 years that by violating Christ's instructions in the New Testament that people have to swear to tell the truth, we actually increase the lies and the deception in general, and right. especially in court.
Yeah, you're right.
It increases it.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's what's happened.
And Christians got upset when the liberals threw out swearing on the Bible.
Yes, they did.
Liberals threw it out because they hate God.
They don't want to see a Bible in the room.
The Christians got upset yeah. because they'd never read the Bible.
And they didn't realize.
They didn't know that Jesus said, don't swear on the Bible.
That's what he said.
And the Christians got upset when the liberals obeyed God and they didn't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
anyway, that, we're far afield.
Now, here's the thing about the CIA. I don't think any of that. For 30 years, there's a small group, a small cabal of mullahs, ayatollahs, who have run that country. That's 30 years. They're pretty much responsible for whatever's going on there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our CIA and what they did in 1965, I don't know that that has any bearing on the situation today.
Mm.
The mullahs are bad guys.
Well, when I said, yeah, and when you take the Quran seriously and you want to implement it as a form of government,
yes.
you're obviously playing with fire.
Yes.
In Saudi Arabia, they've got women are not allowed to drive and, you know, all the insanity.
There's not how many churches, how many Christian churches are there in Saudi Arabia?
In the
at last count?
Per 100,000 people?
Yeah.
Zero.
That's right.
Yeah, no synagogues
mm-hmm.
in Mecca.
Now, I wonder if they have any Christian churches in Iran. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'm sure
yeah.
they probably tolerate some.
Yeah, there has been historically. I don't know how, like the number of Christians in Iraq, I think it's down to.
It's been bad for the Christians.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And the number of Christian churches, it's down to, you count them on your fingers.
Right, right.
But I wanted to make the point that I think some of the protesters, in a way, get hope because of George W. Bush. Now, his implementation, and it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback
yeah,
and
yeah.
say, look, we blew that, we blew that, we blew that.
Mm-hmm.
We blew Tora Bora. We blew the days after Iraq's government fell. Saddam crawled into a spider hole.
Yeah.
And we blew it in so many ways.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we allowed complete lawlessness in the streets
yeah.
for 10 days or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was not the optimal operation.
Not that it wouldn't have been difficult, but that was like our policy. If you want to go loot department stores.
Yeah, we kind of encouraged
our
that.
Our soldiers just watched you drive right. with grandpa's pickup
right.
back and forth through the broken front windows.
Right.
And so that led to the lawlessness, which helped to lead to the
whole insurgency in the four.
For all these years.
Five
now.
Years now, however
yeah.
long. Yeah.
But Bush's overall strategy that he was going to take it to the governments that were either officially or harboring Islamic terrorism, mass slaughter of your own people, systematic slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so going after Afghanistan falls, Iraq's government falls. And then you remember in Libya, Muammar Gaddafi?
Muammar, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He called a press conference.
To surrender, yeah.
I'd like to tell you where all of my weapons are.
<You're right. laughs>
My weapons are over there and over there. Come right in, take them all.
He was giving it all up.
I mean, so that was really three countries.
He knew which way the wind was blowing.
Three countries that were officially, through their government ability to taxation.
Right.
They were funding terrorism. And those three sources of funding and protection fell.
Yes.
So Al-Qaeda lost all that.
It was a great start.
It was a great start. It really was. And with that Marine putting that American flag on Saddam's face.
That was awesome.
When the statue fell.
But I was all for Bush when he said, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists.
That's right.
And it sounded like, but you know. He said,
if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. That was the Bush doctrine.
Yes.
And you remember the Enyart doctrine?
Clarify.
It was, if you are a terrorist, you are a terrorist.
Right.
Because he forgot about the Palestinian Authority.
Yeah.
And Yasser Arafat, one of the fathers of modern terrorism, and we give him tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So talk about harboring a terrorist, but you were going to make a point.
I was, but you know, it doesn't seem worth making at this point.
No.
No.
So I think that the protesters...
They owe more to George Bush than they might want to admit.
Yeah, because they could see that Saddam, with his stranglehold on the Iraqi people, and whether you were Shia or Sunni or Kurdish in that country, that was broken. And there are Western countries like Britain and America and Australia and two others somewhere that are willing to sacrifice to try to liberate people by the tens of millions.
And so
there was something noble to that.
There was. And it's the fault of MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, PBS, NPR.
The New York Times.
The New York Times. And Barack Obama. The Boston Globe.
And Barack Obama. And Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
All the politicians who lied as much as they could lie. They were craving failure. They were craving American casualties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Craving them because that was their campaign strategy for about 3 years.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
And so now that they basically have forestalled and prevented even our victory in a number of areas.
Well,
and so now Iran is going to fall. I predict that the mullahs will totally crack down, shoot, kill, gas, whatever it takes. They will stop this.
Mm.
That the people are not going to rise up and throw them out. Mm. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because who's going to help these people? Who's going to help them to overthrow the mullahs? See, when they overthrew the Shah, they had the help of Islamic fundamentalist radicals. They had troops. You know, irregular troops on the ground who helped to throw the Shah out.
So who's going to help now?
I don't think they have anyone to help now.
Barack?
Barack's not going to help.
The White House is saying we can't take the side of the protesters because then Ahmadinejad will say it was the great Satan that did it.
Uh-huh.
But he's saying that already.
He's saying that already. And if you'd be surprised at how fast these young Iranians will line up right behind the great Satan.
It turns,
if we would just get in front of the parade.
I think you're right. It turns out... And no matter what happens, if his wife burns the toast, he says, it's the great Satan. So these protesters, they're the great Satan.
Right, right. And the only way to solve it, of course, is to wipe Israel off the map. That would solve all of Ahmadinejad's problems.
That's right. So imagine the Jews in Tel Aviv watching all this unfold.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that their future lies in the balance here.
Well, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that the mullahs are thrown out of Iran. I think that would be better. It wouldn't be the perfect situation, but it would have to be better than the mullahs actually running Iran. Yeah.
Well, Doug McBurney, I want to thank you for coming on.
Well, it was an interesting topic
about what's happening in the Middle East. And, you know, it goes way back to the Bible days, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians.
Yeah. And the Persians and the Jews were really close at one point. I read that story.
You're not kidding, Esther.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, you know, the Jews, they were facing extermination.
That's right.
But that's for right. The courage of Esther.
Hmm.
Yeah, what a great story. We've got that, by the way, on a CD.
Folks should order that.
Bob and Your Live Study on Esther.
Yeah.
Really fun.
Good stuff.
So thanks, Doug. In Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school. And our website is KGOV.com. This is Bob and Your Live.